Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello, Scott.
Also joined by a horrible wave of hay fever?
Hay fever
over in the UK. Don't know if Americans get hay fever. It feels like something that we get. It's horrible. Speaking of things that are horrible, Diablo Immortal over on PC now has the worst Metacritic score in gaming history. A nice pristine 0.2, actually outdoing or beating Warcraft 3 Reforged from last year, which was Blizzard's previous worst game of all time.
I was going to say, these Blizzard guys know what they're doing by the sounds of it. Sounds like they're really up to something special.
Oh my god. So we'll break stuff down in regards to why this game is so out and out hated, despite making $24 million in 2 weeks.
That's a lot of money.
It's a hell of a lot of money in regards to the game's microtransaction systems. So it's worth breaking down that obviously Diablo Immortal was the game that was first caught up in all the controversy around being the first mobile Diablo, and was the whole thing where Blizzard tried to say, well, you guys don't have phones? This will be completely fine. I didn't realize that dude, the guy that said, what, you guys don't have phones, is the game director of Diablo Immortal. I'm going to bring him back up later on, because dude just kind of can't catch a break, even though he's making a lot of money. So overall, like I said, the game's made $24 million in 2 weeks, according to App Magic, with USA and South Korea spending the most money. The USA responsible for 43% of the microtransaction money so far. So tell your neighbors, tell them to stop buying the microtransactions. So to break stuff down in regards to why this game is making so much money, it apparently costs around about $100,000 overall to roll the right set of stats overall.
That is
to fully level up your character.
More money than I will ever have, Scott Tilman.
Yes. So the other thing as well that they're hanging a lot of this stuff on is the premium currency of Eternal Orbs. Now I will say that I've barely played Diablo Immortal. I did a little bit of it just to test this last night. Very chunky gameplay, very responsive. However, that seems to be the thing with this game, is that it is very responsive and enjoyable for, let's say, the first week, around about the first 20-ish hours, before the microtransaction side of it really starts settling in. One of the reasons that a lot of Diablo fans are hating it is that it feels like it directly monetizes their love of high-tier power-playing Diablo. The more you want to get lost in this thing, the more you're going to have to cough up more money for Eternal Orbs to make sure you can access the highest level Eternal Rifts and get all the best gear. So, some stuff to bring in here is the dude Wyatt Cheng. He mentioned that the game wouldn't have microtransactions for gear, and they wouldn't have loot boxes. However, they've got around that in a very semantic, very, you know, on paper law firm style way. The loot box answer is that you're paying for Eternal Orbs to access, I think they're called Rift, some fancy Elder Rifts or something. And you're getting Eternal Orbs to get better access to those rifts overall that then drop higher level gear, which you're obviously going to want to have. So it's not directly a loot box, but it still serves the same function.
Yeah.
So there's that. In regards to being able to just do microtransactions to buy gear outright, you can't do that, but you can buy the premium currency, like I said, of Eternal Orbs, and then you get better gear out of the loot boxes. And maybe if you're lucky enough, apparently the drop rates are horrendous, you'll get a legendary gem, which boosts your character overall. You get better health, you get better damage output. And so you're not buying better gear.
Right.
He's out there on Twitter saying, look, I've been very upfront about what this game is. And so you're not directly buying gear or gear slots or XP directly, but you are buying a chance to get a gem that might boost you overall anyway.
This is,
oh my god,
incredibly confusing to me, Scott Tilford. Yes. I'm coming in here as a complete Diablo novice, right? You are explaining all of this to me, and I'm just trying to grasp it. I'm just trying to make sense of it. In my head, obviously, you would get accusations of pay to win if you could just outright buy the loot. But surely that's better than having to roll this dice to hopefully get some legendary gear.
Well,
and I've seen so many headlines before we jumped in to start filming about people, you know, paying tens of thousands of dollars, up to $100,000 to get like the best kind of gear, and then sometimes still not getting anything good from those drops. So it's like, it's almost like they've got two bad systems and they've chosen the worst?
Well, so one thing that stood out very recently, because the game's only been on PC for a couple of weeks. It launched on Android initially, and then it came to iOS, and now it's on PC. There was a streamer called Quinn69, very well-known streamer, who just kept throwing money at it to try and explore how long would it take before they got one of these legendary gems. And they ended up racking up $16,000 before they eventually got one legendary gem, and then they deleted the game. But like what you said, you know, if they had other sort of ways to pay through the game, they do have a battle pass, which you can fast track through by paying with premium currency, etc. Because of course they do. But a lot of the negative reviews are people just saying, just let us pay money for this. Like, let us, like, we'll have one single fee. We'll buy a Diablo game, a premium Diablo game.
Yes.
On mobile, just give us something other than this horrendous nickel and diming, you know, left, right, and center. It's also really weird, like I said, about the fact that the game is enjoyable for the first 20-ish hours, where you kind of, you know, you can have a nice Diablo experience. It previewed very well. And it's kind of because it's been rolled out on platform-specific stuff, and with the worst version being the PC version.
Right.
It's kind of allowed them to sort of go, what's the word, under the radar, do a bit of that. Sort of get by. And then now it's going to be videos like this that raise awareness as to just how money grubby this entire endeavor is.
And that's how a lot of these games kind of get around this fact, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, we see it in the kind of AAA space where you have games come out with no microtransaction store at all, and then a few weeks later, suddenly there's a microtransaction store, and the grind suddenly sets in out of nowhere.
Still waiting for Mario Strikers to drop.
Even though you have, you know, 20, 30, maybe even longer of really enjoyable gameplay, but in the sort of, in this space, in the mobile space, in the kind of free-to-play space as well, that is even more insidious sometimes,
yeah.
Because they know what they're doing in a lot of ways to hook you onto this gameplay loop, especially when the gameplay itself is good, and then to suddenly kind of put up this wall of, okay, you've reached your allotted fun time now, and now everything is kind of going to cost you money if you want to get the rewards at even a fraction of the pace that you were getting them before.
So all the microtransaction side of it, I mean, there's been a lot of different games journalists over on Twitter as they've been experiencing this game, flagging different things that they're seeing, different prompts for you to spend more money. One of the most egregious is relating to the dungeons themselves, where you'll go through a dungeon and unlock various bits of gear, and then the game will flag and say, well, actually, this thing costs a little bit more money than you have. Do you want to pay a little bit more and a little bit more of the premium stuff to actually secure the thing that you previously just worked towards unlocking in the first place, which feels like one of the most egregious implementations of microtransactions since, I would say, like 2017, which was
the year
of the worst of it with Battlefront. Honor and everything.
This kind of style, this kind of practice of microtransactions does feel outdated by this point. I know they're in the interview sort of saying, well, we didn't say loot boxes, we didn't say, you know, X, Y, and Z.
Court of law.
They're in there in other forms. You know, there is a version of the old school microtransaction mentality that is in here in these systems. And it is just a case of, I thought we got away from this even in the mobile space, even away from, you know, regular AAA priced releases and whatnot.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Well, the thing that's worth bringing up, to circle it back around to the unbelievable amount of money that this has made. I mean, Blizzard are out there saying this is the biggest launch in their entire history. And yes, it was $14.5 million in the first week, and now it's on $24 million. So even then, it's almost done the same trajectory for 2 weeks solid, even with all the general feedback and the negative reviews on Metacritic, etc. That's kind of the wider, sadder conversation, is that there is a humongous swath of people who just want to play this game the way that it is, which I think is just a whole thing to be talked about. It's like a situation like this feels like it comes around every sort of 4 to 6 months ish at the minute, and with one of the worst ones being the Warcraft 3 stuff. However, that was more related to a lack of polish and everything. However, when I was researching this stuff and looking at the all the various premium currencies and how they all interact with each other, I remember Avengers came to mind, because it feels like there's always one of these just around the corner, some other way for some dev to think, publisher tends to be, as some way to figure this stuff out, where it's like, well, if we have multiple premium currencies, then this unlocks this, begets this, unlocks this, and that's how we get around saying that it has loot boxes, or we get around saying that we're selling you the XP or whatever. And the sad reality is that it's worked. Like, this has worked for Blizzard. Yes, it's being incredibly downvoted, but the game has made $24 million.
That is it, Scott Taylor. This is the underlying biggest paradox, because, you know, fools like me and you can do videos like this about Star Wars Battlefront 2, about Diablo Immortal, and people in the comments can maybe agree and go, this absolutely sucks. But the publishers have no incentive to stop when, you know, Call of Duty makes $1 billion in microtransactions, when Ultimate Team for FIFA and EA makes $1 billion in microtransactions. Like, the price, the potential profit for these systems is insane. It's far beyond boxed game releases at this point. You know, there is such a great markup for this, and people are clearly buying them despite the potential backlash, and they just keep coming back in different forms. They keep, like, mutating. We have different permutations of loot box and, you know, microtransactions and whatnot, because people are still buying them and they're still making money, so they're just kind of, like, dodging controversies to, like, get to the bank, I guess.
The thing as well is that, you know, if the game is fun to play, I'm going to, like, quote Reggie Fils-Aimé, where it's like, play the game. If the game has a really good solid core to it, it's harder to outright lambast it and be like, avoid this at all costs. Because if you're a Diablo fan, then you can have fun with this to a point, especially towards the beginning of it. But I feel like that's kind of become the secret sauce of the way that all these different factors have come together across the last 5 years, where, you know, you have all the horrible, money grubby, insidious, predatory microtransaction stuff, but somewhere along the development line, it was like, but actually, let's make sure we actually make a game in here.
Right.
And once you have a decent monetizable core, then you can just keep rotating that over and over again. It's why Anthem had, like, a weird tail on it, where there was still a little fan base there going like, well, it's really fun to play. That was always the best thing about Anthem, that it was still enjoyable to get through. And Diablo Immortal plays very, very well. They delayed the PC version to polish it up. And so now you have a very well-playing game that is monetized to all hell. And sadly, it works. It's like, is this just the future of monetizing games like this, where as long as it plays well, people will just keep going?
Maybe, man. I just think it can't be that aggressive. Obviously, free-to-play games especially need to make money in some form. It's just that issue where the microtransactions aren't really present at all for most of the experience, and then they suddenly are. That's what gets me, because it makes the game itself feel almost like an extended demo or an extended free trial, and then you get to the actual game, which is paying money, and it's kind of like, yes, you've got maybe 20 hours, 10 hours of, you know, good gameplay in there, but with a game like this, it's built to last. It's built to be more than just a one and done thing, and you want to get that progression, you want to get those rewards, and then suddenly it throws up, like I said, this gate.
Well, that's also been one of the biggest justifications on the studio side, is like, well, we elongated the grind, we elongated the reward loop or whatever, because we're designing something that you're going to play for years on end, and you don't have to go out there and throw so much money at it. And I think that it always tends to come down to, what does it feel like when you're playing the game? Does it feel like you're being exploited? Does it feel like the game wants more money from you than you initially put in? And obviously, you can play this for free at the beginning, but it very quickly monetizes things after you've got out of the, like I said, the first 20 hours or so. So I think it always comes down to that general feeling. And time will kind of tell. I mean, like, Diablo Immortal had such a weird rollout anyway, but it does feel like it's in a slightly more positive stint gameplay-wise than the likes of Anthem or Avengers or the initial version of For Honor or something, before all those different microtransaction systems got bolted on. So I'm curious how this goes. I think it's in a weird place right now.
It's kind of like a tale of two Diablos at this point, isn't it? We just had the big reveal of Diablo before in Blizzard are out there saying, look, we're going to have like cosmetic microtransactions, but that's going to be it. This is going to be a fully fledged, full price game. Mm. You're going to get your money's worth. Then on the other side, we've got this Diablo, which is very much kind of the opposite, where it's like, hey, you want to take a key into this rift to try and get a legendary item? You want to give us some money for it?
You want
maybe
a good key?
It's just this brand and Blizzard as a whole, obviously, is in a very strange position right now, and they aren't quite making the big steps externally with the games or internally that you would maybe want them to be at this point. When, you know, when Diablo Immortal was announced, everyone was kind of like, I'm worried, and now it's out, and now it's, you know, got this Metacritic score, and it's making waves for being the most downvoted game in history at this point.
I wonder how much behind the scenes, because they had a new president in 2018, I think it's J. Allen Brock or J. Allen Breck in 2018, how much they are just like, well, people are going to hate us for this stuff regardless, you know, what you think, therefore I am or whatever. We might as well just do the worst thing because it's what we're known for now. It's like, let's just see what we can get away with, see how much money we can mine. And in regards to Immortal and the Diablo franchise itself, how much can we get away with the Diablo fandom, and how much can we then translate that across into Diablo 4? Like you said, there is that thing of trying to prioritize Diablo 4. But at the same time, if this made $24 million in 2 weeks, they'll bring some of that across somehow. They did the auction house in Diablo 3.
They certainly did.
You know.
Not to turn this video into a grind, but you just mentioned something there which I think is really interesting. You know, you talk about looking at the Diablo fans and kind of approaching them as whales, as the industry term is. And that's what sucks perhaps the most when it comes to these games. Mm. It's that it's the hardcore fans that are always treated the worst, because the people who want to play this for hours and hours on end end up being the ones who feel like they need to pay all of this money to try and get all of these rewards.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like what they're targeting in a kind of insidious way at this point, you know, the it's almost like weaponized fandom.
I remember when there was a documentary a while ago about Comic-Con, and Joss Whedon was talking about how it changed over time. And it's not that Comic-Con isn't a worthwhile thing to go check out now, but it used to be a much smaller endeavor. And as soon as they realized they could plug in all these different advertising opportunities and sponsorships and everything else, it got so much bigger. And the way that Whedon phrased it was, you know, mine the fan love and get the money out. And I feel like that's like a general thing that can be applied to various, you know, approaches to mediums and franchises overall, which kind of feels like what this is. The more hardcore Diablo fan or player you are, the more you're going to come up against the microtransaction stuff and have to give into it at some point if you want to play it to the level that you might play a Diablo 3 or anything of the other previous ones that have been available. Let us know what you think down in the comments below, though. Have you picked up Diablo Immortal, or are you staying the hell away and waiting to see if Blizzard respond to any of the negativity? For now, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.